This is going to be fairly informal this morning. In fact, real informal this morning. We are blessed to have three darn good guys here to do the workshop this morning. We got Dennis down from Minnesota. He's our PI chairperson up there in southern Minnesota, doing an outstanding job. This is his displays, which he'll be going over a little bit later. Got Don P. here, who is on the PI committee. And I might add that if you have any changes you'd like to see in the public information notebook or any concerns about it, they're addressing this issue now on the committee he's on, and you might want to drop him a note and let him know that these are some things he might want to take a look at and what your suggestions or alternatives might be. Also, we got Bob from Cedar Rapids that does an excellent job in PI down there. Irregardless of what he may say about himself, he does do a good job. So I think what we're going to do is start out with Dennis and let him share with us some of his thoughts and ideas and how he's introduced PI in southern Minnesota and how he keeps it going and how he keeps the people motivated. Dennis?
Morning, everybody. I'm Dennis, and I'm an alcoholic. I guess those of us who are supposed to be up this morning are here. I don't know about that. JV and we were teasing about it earlier, about the mic's drooping a little bit here, and we said, well, we could just lay them right down on the table, but we don't know if we'd stay awake. Motivation's kind of a funny thing, especially within Alcoholics Anonymous, I guess, and a lot of other places. There are a lot of motivational speakers that go around and do a lot of things and get people stirred up. And I don't know how well that works in society, but a lot of people seem to think it does. But I think the thing that it really boils down to, and I imagine it's been talked about a lot this weekend. I know it was in the DCM sharing session on Friday night, and Don talked about it in his talk last night. I think Winning Alcoholics Anonymous motivation is just sponsorship, really. And there's a lot of ways to sponsor. Bob and I were talking about it up here, and he said, excuse me, how have you know, gotten people going in southern Minnesota, and how have you kept them going? And I think I've used the principles of sponsorship, although I don't sponsor my entire committee. I tend, I think, to use the same attitude with it. If I run into somebody that is either on the PI committee or interested in PI, or maybe just happened to stumble into, had the misfortune of stumbling into a room that I happen to be in, and they talk about having an interest or a concern about something that involves PI, generally what I try to do is help them see, number one, that they have an asset that can be used for Alcoholics Anonymous. The asset may initially just be their concern about something. And then try to help them build the asset and to use it for our fellowship. I think as a chairman, probably my biggest job is just to be a cheerleader, really. To encourage the people in the districts and in the area, and to act as a backup and a resource for people. One of the things that, I think there's two things that stand in the way of PI committee work or any committee for that matter. One is a sense of not really understanding what it is you're supposed to do. And as has been talked about, I know, in the business meeting yesterday and around the tables, is it's kind of like the steps, you know. We don't understand the steps in our work, and we work them and we understand them. And the committee works a lot the same way. If we all understood what we were supposed to do when we got the job, we wouldn't have got the job. And so I think that it's helpful to communicate that to people, that you don't have to know everything there is to know about public information to do a good job. You can learn as you go. One of the things that I generally don't mention when I talk about it, but it was suggested to me by people that know me that I might mention, is because my sponsor taught me to dress up when I attend AA functions, sometimes people get an idea that I might be a public relations professional or in that kind of a field, and that's not true. I'm a truck driver by profession, you know. And so I don't have a lot of, or didn't have a lot of expertise coming into public information work. I learned it from reading our literature. I learned it from asking questions and really coming into contact with the members of the media. And if you ask them, you know, people love to talk about what they do. They really do. And so they'll tell you everything you need to know if you simply ask. Brian mentioned in his talk last night, and when he said it, it rang a bell with me because it's something, it's a word that had kind of leapt off the pages of me as I'm going back in my big book study this time through, and Don mentioned in his talk last night, and I was the word demonstration, and I'm coming to understand in my big book study this time that one of the things, one of the responsibilities that you and I have as AA members is to make a demonstration of our principles, which is simply an old concept borrowed from the Oxford groups that we came out of. And so I think perhaps we can see PI as a way of opening a window for the world to see this demonstration. You know, I don't think it's our job in PI to define Alcoholics Anonymous. I think it's our job to offer the public an opportunity to see Alcoholics Anonymous define itself. So maybe the job isn't as big as we initially think it is up front. To a large degree, all we are is kind of the waiters of a sort to the public, you know. We're just doing the footwork that's necessary to bring the public to see Alcoholics Anonymous. And I think if we think about it in that light, perhaps it isn't as big a job or as awesome a job as we might initially think. The biggest thing I think that happens in PI, from my experience, is not that we inform the public about Alcoholics Anonymous, but that in attempting to inform the public about Alcoholics Anonymous, we become informed about Alcoholics Anonymous. I think that's the biggest benefit that this particular kind of service work has for Alcoholics Anonymous. And I think the biggest message that we can carry is not the press releases we send out. It's not the literature we pass out. It's not the spots we get on the radio or TV. It's what the media people see when we deal with them. That's the biggest message that I think we carry. Because that message will mean not only that we get a spot on a TV station, but it'll mean that the personnel of that station will come to have confidence in Alcoholics Anonymous through us. And if they can have confidence in Alcoholics Anonymous, then perhaps we can just be some small part of ensuring that Alcoholics Anonymous continues. I don't know what it'll take for Alcoholics Anonymous to be here 50 years from now. I have some vague ideas that we need to, you know, stick with our primary purpose and those kinds of things, but I don't know exactly the specific things that need to be done between now and then. And so all I can do is my little part in that. And that helps me to do the job because I don't have to ensure myself that AA survives. All I have to ensure is that I do my little part and that I do what I can to make sure that the message of Alcoholics Anonymous always has a place where it can go so that the alcoholic can come in contact with it. And perhaps that's all that PI really is. And so it's not a big job. It's just a job that needs to be done. It's a job that anyone can do. And that brings us, I think, to anonymity. And Don and I may disagree on this, I don't know, but generally I send out that anonymity pamphlet a lot for a variety of reasons. And in there, Dr. Bob is rather direct about his position on anonymity. You know, he says, in effect, that if you can read it all, you understand that anonymity is at the level of press, radio, and television, or press, radio, and films. Anything above that level is a break of anonymity, and anything below that level is a break of anonymity. And I think that's an important point that each of us supporting PI work has to remember. If I talk to a civic group, I use my full name. Because if somebody in that group wants to contact a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, I don't want to have them try to look up Denny B. in the phone book. If they have somebody that they know who's having problems, I want them to be able to say, whether it's me or anybody else, that here's a person you can call. By the same token, I don't want to be, I don't want to have my face on a TV screen or on a photograph. Back of my head's fine, you know. People have been looking at the back of my head when I was drinking a lot, you know, because I was usually laying face down. And so that's okay, they're used to seeing that part of me. But I think we really need to be not only careful, but you need to really develop a good understanding of anonymity. And to a large degree, that's the biggest job I've had in southern Minnesota is that particular aspect of public information work, is the anonymity part. Because everybody's kind of unsure, you know, and it's really, at least as Dr. Bob saw it, very simple. So I think with that, I'm going to... As Dr. Bob felt, yeah. Well, it means that if your picture or full name is used in the press or radio or films, that's a break of anonymity. By the same token, if you don't use your last name in a meeting, Dr. Bob felt that was a break of the tradition, the spirit of anonymity. You know, I think, I don't know if that makes sense to you. The way I kind of came to understand that was reading a little thing put out by the Grapevine about those five topics that Bill had writings on. And he talks about pride as being a two-sided coin, or fear maybe as a two-sided coin. And I think anonymity is the same way. On the one hand, I can try to inflate my ego by having my face, you know, out there, my full name out there. By the same token, if I'm too anonymous within the fellowship, that can also be an inflation of the ego, you know. And that's the bottom line, of, as far as I'm concerned, of anonymity, is what's it doing for the ego. You know. Mm-hmm. Any other questions before I turn it back over to JD? Okay, thank you.
Yesterday after the session, somebody came up to me and asked me if I had read our brief statement on anonymity from GSO. I said, no, but I will tomorrow. And I was sitting here thinking about, now what was it they said they wanted me to do tomorrow? And it dawned on me. And so I'd like to read that at this time. There may be some here who are not familiar with our tradition of personal anonymity at the public level. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, TV, and films. Thus, we respectfully ask that no AA speaker, or indeed any AA member, be identified by full name in published or broadcast reports of our meetings. Assurance of our anonymity is essential in our effort to help other problem drinkers who may wish to share our recovery program with us. And our tradition of anonymity reminds us that AA principles come before personalities. I'd like to respond just a little bit to his above and below. I had been familiar with, there's another group I go to other than my home group. A lot of other groups I go to other than my home group, but this one particular group, there's three gentlemen that come to it that I think a lot of. Cliff, Clem, and John. And one night I was at my cabin and I was hurting pretty bad and I needed to talk to them. It's about 50 miles away. And I didn't know their last name. And I didn't know what the heck to do. So this is why it's suggested in our AA meetings that we do reveal our last names. So if somebody is indeed in need of some help, they can give you a call or something. I mean, there's just a heck of a lot of Cliff, Clem, and Bills in the Johns in the telephone book. And so that was about 2 years into my program sobriety, and it made it quite clear why I should give my last name to Holly. If somebody else does or not, that's up to them, but it's still, I think it's important. Don, you have a few comments. My name's Don, I'm an alcoholic. There are going to be a few because my head isn't working yet this morning. I just wanted to give you more or less an overview of the public information work that's done in New York, both by the General Service Office and the Trustees Committee on Public Information. Because we are a service organization, and our main job is to provide the public information materials that you will need out here. Minnesota has put out some videotapes and some audio tapes, but a lot of places don't. So one of our jobs is within the framework of our traditions and our policy of attraction rather than promotion to produce and distribute those public information pieces. We've got videotapes, we've got audio tapes. We have a number of pre-written magazine and newspaper articles that are already screened and we know give the AA message. Because the biggest thing we want to do is to present the picture of Alcoholics Anonymous consistently in the same picture wherever we go. So those are all available to you by simply writing to New York. Now the process those go through is interesting. Somebody doesn't just sit down and put one out and say this is good. It gets some real review, and that on that public trustees public information committee, that's created some real fun for me. Because we have a number of public information people on that committee, Madison Avenue types. And I love to watch them let their hair fall out. Because we put some real constraints on these people. We ask them to come in and help us as professionals. They're directors, they're advisors, and they're also used to getting a request, turning it into an idea that afternoon, sometime later that week it's finished, and by the following week it's on the air. And we're talking a year or two from the inception of an idea until it's actually produced and out there. And after it's finally finished and in its final state, it still has to go to a conference to be finally approved. So 2 years of work can go right out the window. These are very dedicated people, I've found. Some of them have what I now consider the New York experience. That's where they live. And that's what their life experience is. And for a while, that created some problems for me because we were at odds over some very specific issues. And their experience was New York's experience, and mine was Midwestern experience in California and wherever I've traveled. And they didn't match. So it's created some dialogue, and that's been very good. I think I've been able to bring to them a bit more how we operate out here. And they've been able to get across to me what they're having to work with, because their experience is different. This PI workbook is a fine, fine piece. If anyone is wanting to get into public information, our experience around home is that we just have a separate meeting, a workshop, using this book, where we study the book, we study the traditions, and become informed. If I'm going to inform the public of what Alcoholics Anonymous is, I really should know myself.
and I'm with Dennis. The greatest gap we have in what is and is not Alcoholics Anonymous is right here in the middle of the fellowship. I too believe personal sponsorship is the answer to that. But the PI workbook is constantly being updated. It's not cast in stone. There are some fine things in here. There's scripts. There's ideas for radio shows. One of the most effective we've ever had was the one called Ask an Alcoholic. And it has two separate formats. One is just an interview format, and then people call in and you field the calls live, which is at all times risky. The folks that call us are argumentative, opinionated, frightened, and sometimes just downright nasty. The other format is a little more structured. You have three people who will be fielding phone calls off the air and getting the questions down, and three people who will answer the questions that get sorted out, so you don't have all kinds of controversy. Frankly, I like the live show better. It's active and you get some real 12-step work off of that show. The way we walk out there is the most important public information piece that we put out. I heard years ago in the fellowship that I may be the only copy of the big book someone will see, and we were talking about a drunk. But that holds true in my neighborhood and in my business and in all of my activities. If it had not been for good public relations, and whatever else Bill Wilson did, he was a master at public relations. And he created for us acceptance in the public eye. And without that public acceptance, we're not going to get the referrals we need. The drunks won't call us, the doctors won't call us, the social workers won't call us. And so our image to those people is very important. And I've said it before, and you'll probably get tired of hearing it. Continuity is my perception of the key to that. We got to keep presenting the same image, the same message, over and over again without too much variation to be credible. And we have to do this in a way that isn't promotion. And I tell you, that's the most fun I've had this year, trying to walk that delicate line between presenting who we are and what we do without making it promotion. And the line is so delicate, maybe you've heard some of our new spots, they're excellent. They just simply present the picture and then say, Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Check your local phone book or newspaper. And I personally think we've just barely crossed the line by saying, it works. Now, possibly not, but that's how delicate this line is, how careful we have to think, I think, about what we're doing. Any step across the line makes me nervous. But anything less than the public relations job we're doing right now would also make me very nervous. We have millions and millions of people out there falling off the edge because they don't know that we exist. Alcoholics Anonymous is my life. I just assume the whole world knows how great we are and what we do, and there's millions of them that have never heard of us. So that's part of the job we do. That's the best I can do this morning. Overview. Except unless you want to ask some questions and stir some stuff up. So, yeah, but Dick.
Anybody else has had any success with radio tape,
We've had good luck both ways. Quite often the local stations will want their own announcer to dub over, to actually carry the message. So in addition to the tape, you get a script, and their local people can do that. One of the new things that we're doing, I guess it's new to me, one of the things we do there, before these tapes are put out for general distribution, like the young people's tapes, they went to a very specific market, and there are professionals who monitor that market for us to tell us how effective the tapes are. In other words, they put them out to 15,000 stations, and then they check with the stations to see how many calls the stations got referring to those tapes, so that we have a pretty good gauge of how effective they're going to be before we ever send them to you. And you brought up something that it's very important. Just because the General Service Office is producing them, you don't have to stick with that. If you have a local need, by all means, fill it. But we do have some scripts that say it pretty well. But these guys have done a great job writing their own. In fact, I think we stole one of yours, didn't we? If we didn't, we're gonna. and in some areas there's been no luck at all with radio, but radio has consistently been one of our best resources. A lot of drunks in the middle of the night are listening to talk shows. Okay, or watching the test patterns. And while you and I are distressed because the public information announcement goes on at 3 in the morning and we're home in bed, the guy that needs to hear the message is up wondering how the hell he's going to get to sleep. And he will hear that. So.
Thank you, Don. You know, that's a good point. I understand what you're saying. The guy that needs to hear the message may be up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I could never make it that long. You know, so I couldn't relate to him. Now, I can see what you're talking about. You know, you're talking about continuity. We need to be all carrying the same message. I've heard people say, well, I'm working the program my way. But that really got drove home to me again this weekend. One of the guys I brought down here, or the road down with me, he had been to a workshop and he had heard something on the concepts this weekend. He was all excited because that's the second time he had heard it. And he had heard the same thing the second time. So it had some believability to him. You know, and I'd sit here and made a note when he was talking about making a demonstration of our principles, and I went ahead and wrote down, as we are perceived, we may be the only big book a person may read. And I was told this early on in the program, and just about the time I finished, you're saying the same thing, you know. And for me, I need to keep hearing this stuff over and over and over, because I just don't remember well. But as long as I keep hearing the same thing over, I know it's true. And as I look at you folks out there that's been on the program much longer than I have, I know it works. Bob, would you like to? Bob's going to give us some of his experiences in the Cedar Rapids area.
Thank you, J.D. I'm Bob Corn, Great Falls caller from Cedar Rapids.
Hi, Bob.
Good morning. Also public information chairman for that area, District 8. I was talking to Chris before we started off this morning, and I overheard him. I was behind him. He didn't know I was there. He says, is it going to be the same as it was yesterday, or we're going to have something different? And I interrupted him and embarrassed him probably and told him probably the same. I couldn't think of anything new to say. But I did put a little effort in it, and I remembered a lot of things that I didn't touch on yesterday. So you helped me out. One of the things that isn't very glamorous, takes a lot of footwork. That's just plain old literature. I carry a box full of literature in the trunk of my car. A couple big books in that box. And all that literature, like I said yesterday, is stamped with the District 8 answering service, Alfox 9, answering service telephone number. Emergency rooms in the hospitals, good place for them. Always check, you know, I mean, check with the authorities to be. Don't go in and run in there and put it in there. You can get yourself in a jam that way. Ask me about it. But ask and nine times out of ten, they'll let you put it alongside the heart literature, the cancer literature. And I have a good friend that's a nurse in the fellowship, and she has to work in an emergency ward. And she says that is her worst part of working in the emergency ward, is all the drunks that come in battered up, and the family members who wait out there wondering whether they're going to live or die. So she thinks it's an excellent place for AA literature. Doctor's offices, any waiting room, any place that somebody has to wait around and can pick something up. And also use the grapevine along with that literature. Of course, I'm reaching into another area there. Somebody else is the grapevine representative in our area, dispenses a lot of grapevines to doctor's offices. But a little overlap doesn't hurt. Maybe she misses one. But there's a lot of uses of that literature. And as far as I'm concerned, that literature is one of the best sources of information that I have today yet. I mentioned the schools the other day, that in the Cedar Rapids area has just boomeranged. And it's been through no fault of what we've done, myself personally. It just started off with contacting a few schools, or them contacting us, one guidance counselor that was especially interested in AA a few years back. He got it started, and word of mouth, and now, during the school year, we're kept pretty busy making talks to the schools. And like Don and I both said yesterday, the most receptive one seems to be your fifth and sixth graders. Junior high is all right. By the time they get into senior high, they know it all. You know, we've been there. I've tried this stuff and it works for me, and I won't get like you. I'll never drop off that edge and become an alcoholic. I can remember myself telling myself that, you know. Hey, I drink a lot. The rest of the guys in high school don't drink this much. But I'm handling it. I can drink with the big boys. Nothing's going to happen to me. That was kind of thoughtless words. Television. The TV spots have been mentioned. Again, Don, I'm glad you brought that up, because that is one of my biggest gripes. Here at 5:30, at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I use my TV runs a lot during the night. And I heard one on one of our local channels the other morning at 5:05. And I thought, who in the hell's up beside that? I was half asleep. I wasn't about to get up yet. But I did hear it. Made me feel good that they at least played it. But I can remember many a night that I paced the floor, wondering where I was going to get my next drink. Wished I could get off this stuff, and didn't know how. So you are right there. At any time they come, the alcoholic might have a need for them. Radio I didn't touch on yesterday. In 81 and 82, when I served my first tour as PI for 8th District, I read that workbook, and we have a question and answer show that airs every night on one of our local stations, KGAM, WMT in Cedar Rapids. It's called Project 600, I believe, yet. And they have guests on there, and it lasts for about 3 hours. Well, I approached them on a question and answer deal. And we went live, and you are right. I was lucky. I went live 3 times. Not personally, but I had guests to field questions on there. 3 different times, and we went live, and we didn't get into trouble. Came close a couple times, because you do get some real cranks. The failures, you know, the ones that have tried AA and it doesn't work. And they're half looped up, and they're going to tell you all about it. Well, this host is pretty good at kind of depressing that before it gets too far out of line. But anyway, the very first show we had, I had a housewife, a younger gentleman, and one of our older members as the three people to field the questions. He said the deal when we went into that, we'd start off at 7 o'clock and we'd interview the three different people. He'd interview the three different people, let them tell a little bit of their story, tell a little bit about AA, and then we would open the lines up for calls. And if we got enough calls, we'd run it till 10 o'clock. If not, he had Dr. Persh's tapes and other things he could fill in with about alcoholism. Well, needless to say, it ran right through the 10 o'clock and that board was still lit up. It was a huge success. But I did, the biggest windfall I got out of the whole thing, me personally, and here going on an ego trip again, I saw a person come into the fellowship because of that first program. And that young lady is still sober today, active in service, and it makes all the rest of this running around worthwhile when you can point to somebody, some human being that actually heard something you did and made that all-important call. Matter of fact, a couple of years later, I had her on the program, and they had quite a to-do about the fact that this is the way she had entered the fellowship, was by listening to this program. And like I said, Don, we were lucky. We did get a few crank calls. The biggest pain I think we had was all these AA, outlying AAs that needed to talk and would call in and tell how great it was. I didn't want those. I wanted the suffering ones, the happy ones, you know. But we had all these grateful ones calling in and telling what a wonderful job it was and taking up that time, you know. Newspapers, I didn't mention that. Along with that comes your anonymity. Our newspaper down there is not the easiest to deal with. There's only one in town. They have a monopoly, so they can do pretty much what they want. They will. I've had no trouble. Like, we have an 8th District anniversary every year. I get a little article in there, go down and talk to it, and they will put a little spread in there about how long we've been in Cedar Rapids and how many people we plan on attending and what the agenda for the celebration will be. And the very first time, one of the first times I went down there, I had a tough time with the young lady who did a beautiful job for us, it turned out, but she wanted to quote me, full name. And I had a heck of a time telling her that I didn't want to be quoted at all first, really. Just take the facts as I give them to you and write a nice article, which she finally did. But she couldn't figure out why I didn't at least want Bob F. in there. I said, well, that'd be all right, but as far as I'm concerned, I don't even need to be in there. Let's just as is, you know? You don't need a spokesman or stated. You just write a nice article. Well, since that time, I've not had any trouble with that in that area. But I do have a constant fear because, like I said, this has been my second term in the 8th District. It was a 2-year lapse, and I came back for another 2 years. So I've gotten to know a lot of these people, and I do use my full name, because if you're going to be anonymous and be a public information representative, you might as well forget it, because these people have got to get hold of you for additional literature, for to tell you to come, they're through with your tapes, to come and pick them up, to get you lined, maybe to line up some speakers for the schools. So you've got to use your full name, address, and telephone number. The part is, and all of these people that I work with all the time know about anonymity, and I have no fear at all. But I'm afraid sometime they'll turn it over to some little girl to help them out, and then I will get a break in anonymity. So far, I've been real fortunate. And about all I can tell you about it, newspapers, we had a real nice one here. Dick remembers it. How long was it ago when Sarge made, just out of the clear blue sky, made a talk to the real estate board? About a year and a half ago, one of our members who is in real estate was called on to talk to a group of realtors. And he gave one heck of a talk, and it happened to be picked up by the press. And they, no anonymity breaks, no nothing, but it was one of the better articles they wrote on it. And I knew nothing about it until I saw it in the paper. But I'm grateful for anything like that, whether I have anything to do with it or not. It just, as long as it gets there. And maybe somebody reads it and gets the idea that they can be helped. That's really all I have. Is there any questions? Thank you very much.
I never got into it yesterday either, but I'm sure you all know, and I just made some notes to myself here, PI is carrying our message to someone who may carry it on to the still suffering or drinking alcoholic. Now, and this is just my comments, this is not something that's official, but I feel when a member of AA shares the message with a non-AA, he or she is involved in PI work, involved in public information work. And we're planting a seed out here, not knowing when that thing may decide to grow. Before a person gets into this, as far as public speaking, it's suggested you might want to take a look at this pamphlet, speaking at non-AA meetings, which is P40, and it has a lot of questions in here that are most commonly asked by the non-alcoholics, such as why doesn't AA seem to work for some people? Is AA affiliated with any other organization? Is it a temperance movement? Who is an alcoholic? What are the early symptoms? But you might, before you speak to another group or non-alcoholic, you might become familiar with this. I found that one of the most rewarding things to me, and maybe it's an ego trip, or it wasn't at first, but my doctor knows I'm an alcoholic. He knew it for a long time, but he kept it to himself. He never even told me. You know why? He didn't want to lose me as a patient. That's bottom line. I did not know that till I went to my doctor. And let's just say, you know, I'm an alcoholic and I'm on the program. I says, if there's anybody comes through that you identify having a problem and you're comfortable with it, and I went over some of these things, I says, why don't you go ahead and have that individual call me? Well, it went by about a year and no calls. So I went back and talked to him again. I said, what's wrong here? I says, I know a lot of people you have coming through, and I know you know they have a problem. They're not ready, or you're not ready a lot. And he says, Lord, he says, you know what's going to happen if I tell them they've got a problem with booze or they're an alcoholic? He says, they're just going to find another doctor. And I says, hey, hell, you're going to lose them anyway. They're going to die anyway if you don't do something about it. You know, and he was really, truly concerned only about one thing. You know, it's the keep coming back, but it was the payroll, rather than what we was concerned about. So once he got his head screwed on right, and saw that he really could help, by golly, we've got an arrangement now where he'll identify the problem with the individual and tell him or her that there's another person he knows, he won't give him my name, but is an alcoholic, and he has my approval for them to call me, and he makes the telephone call from his office to me so they can talk to me, and then he leaves the room. So it's something they've got to do. And it works out pretty well. They take the first step. I guess bottom line here is, if you haven't sponsored your own physician or minister or school counselor or whoever you might been close to or thought you was close to when you was drinking, you might consider it, because they can they can really help carry the message also for you. Another piece of literature, and I'm really sold on using literature because I can't remember the kind of things that should be said, and these are professionally done, and they say the kind of things that need to be said in an abbreviated manner. AA at a Glance is another excellent piece to give out to that newcomer or, excuse me, to that news organization or whoever, so they can take a look. A person just getting out of treatment, where do I go from here? What do I do? Sometimes there's some misconceptions within these people coming out, and this can clear up some of that. A piece that I use all the time is information on Alcoholics Anonymous, and this just goes to everybody. It's automatic. It's sort of like the big book, because it tells what AA is, and it tells what AA is not, and it specifically deals with the non-alcoholic. I think it's an excellent PI piece. You know, how do we address it? Something you might want to have in your portfolio. We're getting a lot of young people, a message to teenagers. And all these are out on Randy. Randy, hold up your hand. Randy's our literature chairman. Now, he's got all these pieces out on his table out there, so feel free to pick up what your needs are. Speaking specifically to the medical profession, we've got one here, AA as a resource for the medical profession, written specifically for your doctor. The clergyman asked about alcoholism. So I don't know about you folks, but it tells them a heck of a lot better way than I can tell it to them. I can leave it with them, I can tell them what my thoughts are, and then they can review it also in print here. AA in treatment centers, on how we cooperate with outside organization, or how we cooperate with other community efforts. We cooperate, but we're not affiliated. So these are some of the pamphlets that can be utilized out here with other organizations, and I'd really suggest if you're going to become involved, which obviously you are, you wouldn't be here, become familiar with those pamphlets and leave them with these people so they can look them over. Is there any questions on anything that we have covered or haven't covered that you'd like to talk about?